Alexander Isak makes his Liverpool debut, but an old head delivered the Reds' latest late winner. Kvaratskhelia scores a screamer for the defending champions, while Bayern and Inter flex some muscle. Two competition debutants made their mark too. Let's get into Match Day 1 Wednesday. More drama upon the return of the UEFA Champions League. Welcome along, I'm Rob Daly, and the noise you can hear in the background is the sound of Anfield showing its appreciation for the players as they make their way down the tunnel. Alexander Isak amongst them, applauding high towards the largely now vacated red seats inside this formidable arena on Merseyside, as it so proved for Atletico. With me, Rob Daly, European football expert Andy Brassel, and Andy, Liverpool with that late winner from Virgil van Dijk have done it again.
Yes, and what an extraordinary game. To think that Liverpool were decisive at the beginning, decisive at the end, and in between, pretty much everything that could happen did happen. It is an extraordinary game, and a great game to start the UEFA Champions League.
Yeah, okay, well, let's go through all the scores on the night. In the earlier kickoffs, Olympiacos 0, Paphos 0, Slavia Praha 2, Budak Glimt 2. We're going to get to those shortly. And then the four late matches. Paris Saint-Germain 4, Atalanta 0, Bayern 3, Chelsea 1, and Ajax 0, Inter 2. But let's focus on the match at Anfield. Liverpool took on Atletico, and Andy watched this one alongside Mark Scott.
Left foot of Salah would be favoured from this slightly right position just outside the box. Salah to strike, into the wall, deflected and in. Liverpool lead. Mo Salah's free kick, it might not be his goal, but it is a goal for Liverpool. Salah's strike took a chunky touch, wrong-footed Oblak, and Liverpool are off to a flying start at Anfield. They lead Atleti by a goal to nil.
Yeah, and all the Liverpool players going to Andy Robertson, it would appear. He was on the edge of the wall, so maybe it's flicked off him. It's one of the most extraordinary back-heel goals you'll ever score.
For Ibrahima Konate now, about 10 metres outside the Atleti penalty area, flipped across to Mo Salah, who's got Frimpong making the overlapping run, used him by not using him, and now Gravenberch nearly went over in the area. Salah's in, 2-0. Liverpool rampant early on. Mo Salah slots home effortlessly, and Liverpool are laying down a marker minutes into their Champions League season.
Not been many obvious forward passes for Atleti. They found one here, though, as the ball is carried forward by Raspadori, and then Pope Goldwards and in! And Atleti are back in it. Marcus Llorente from out of nothing. Diego Simeone's side have scored right at the end of the half. It's an excellent finish from Marcus Llorente.
And then the effort is smack goalwards. And then, oh, Llorente's hit in!
Absolutely incredible! Marcus Llorente has blasted Atletico back level at Anfield. Flush on the volley. I think it got a touch on its way through, but it was still so sweetly struck. And from two up early on, Liverpool have been pegged back. And it's Marcus Llorente at the double. Incredible scenes.
Szoboszlai, 2 minutes of added time to play. The header is in!
Liverpool have won it! Virgil van Dijk with a thumping header. The skipper steps up and Liverpool have done it late on once again. They thought that they'd dropped 2 points, but they've taken them all right at the death. And it's Liverpool 3, Atletico 2.
And in truth, it felt like it was coming. For the fifth game in a row, after happening in their previous four Premier League matches, Liverpool win a game with a late goal. Virgil van Dijk right now out on the centre circle at Anfield, being interviewed after his match winner. And we're going to hear from the Dutchman very shortly here on Match Day Live. But let's bring in Mark Scott, who was on commentary there. Mark, the big headline team is at the start of the game, Isak starting. But it was the old face of Mo Salah, really, who got Liverpool moving.
Yeah, it was. It was interesting keeping an eye on Alexander Isak. He had some nice touches, some good moves. He went close with one effort where he collected the ball neatly and turned and swiveled and knocked it narrowly wide. But I think generally it's to be expected that he wasn't quite up to full speed. It's been a while since he last played a competitive game of football. So I think it's a gentle approach. And Arne Slot said that we'd see him for maybe 45 minutes. He played a bit longer than that. So it wasn't top end Alexander Isak, but it's going to be a gradual process until we get him up to full speed. But yeah, Mo Salah was the one who sort of set the tone for things. And it was interesting that Szoboszlai was able to play in his natural position. Position of central midfield with Jeremy Frimpong back from injury and able to start at right back, which gave them a bit of additional balance, I thought, to the side. And it was the old names that stepped up. Salah early on with the hit that led to the opening goal, then a goal of his own, and then Van Dijk right at the very end for yet another late Liverpool win.
It was a stunning start from the Reds, Andy.
It was.
But they're facing an Atletico team that there is always that fight about them, isn't there? They were missing a number of big players tonight.
Yeah, a lot of big players. You think of the sort of players that really would have benefited them at Anfield. You think Argentina's two main players at the moment, Julian Alvarez and Thiago Almada, are amongst those missing, that when they didn't have much of the ball and they were struggling to cut through Liverpool in that first half, those two would have certainly helped. But look, I think you look at the players they leaned on, and they were players, if they weren't old Atletico players, and you know, I know we're talking about Koke and the influence he had in the second half that was brilliant, they were players with that Atletico attitude. I thought Giuliano Simeone was exceptional for them. He covered every single blade of grass at Anfield tonight, playing right wing, auxiliary right back, centre forward, left wing at some point. And just to keep them competitive, to keep Liverpool's defenders honest and keep them in the game and keep putting physical pressure on Liverpool, he made an enormous effort. And they must have thought they'd done the difficult bit when you got the equaliser from Llorente, who again was outstanding, I thought, to really pull them back into the game. Because at that point, the satisfaction they must have felt, having been 2-0 down after 6 minutes, and so many good teams have been down that slippery slope at Anfield, where you turn up, you think you're in with a shout against Liverpool, and all of a sudden you're 4-0 down, because they're that good at Anfield. And Liverpool gave these sort of performances time and again in last season's Champions League. So I think when everyone's taken a deep breath at the Metropolitano, when they look at how they're going to go forward from here, I think they'll think, well, you know what? That was a real test of character. And in the main, we stood up to it very well.
Marcus Llorente, by the way, has now scored 7 career goals in the Champions League. 4 of them have come at Anfield. I mean, you told the story, Andy, earlier, of how he named his dog Anfield.
Yeah. Maybe he needs a second one.
2 dogs named Anfield.
Yeah.
Look, let's talk about what happened in those closing stages, Mark. After it went to 2-2,
Liverpool were incessant, Andy, weren't they, after
yes.
that? They built up ahead of steam. They had a number of corners, and that was the way that the winning goal came about, from Van Dijk's header from a corner.
Look, I know defending Virgil van Dijk is easier said than done. That run and header was worthy of any centre forward on the planet. It was a terrific winning goal, and a goal worthy of winning this terrific game. But also, I would say that Liverpool had made the right changes and had those right changes in the bank for when they conceded the equaliser. So you look at Ngamoa coming on, and the authentic width that he provided Liverpool with against the tired Atletico team, who I think needed to take a breather at that point, having made such a physical and mental effort to get back into the game. You had that, and you had Salah staying wide as well. So all of a sudden, they've got a lot of pitch width to cover when they really haven't got that much left in the tank. So I think you have to give Liverpool credit for that as well.
They certainly stretch Atletico in those final moments to allow Virgil van Dijk to pop up with the winning goal.
If you're not there in a split second, if you are a little bit too late, and I think they punished just before the break, and after the break we tried to go for the 3-1, but obviously they get a bit of confidence from that as well. But eventually, you know, have to keep going and show the resilience that we have been showing for all many years, and it was another great European night here again.
Look, where do we stand, gents, on the way Liverpool are winning games at the moment? Did it against Burnley at the weekend, Newcastle. Arsenal goal was relatively late, and Bournemouth opening day. They've thrown away 2 goal leads in 3 matches now, but they keep on getting late winners. Is this luck? Can they keep this up? You know, what do we think about the way Liverpool are winning right now?
What a bench they have, frankly. You know, to be able to bring on Alexis McAllister, someone who really drives the game, Connor Bradley, who I thought contributed enormously when he came on. It's difficult to match the offensive output of Frimpong, but he did a good effort whilst defending very well, I thought, against Nico Gonzalez and later against Giuliano Simeone as well. And Ekitike, even though he missed a good chance at the end and didn't get his goal, provided a completely different problem for Atletico defensively when they're still trying to get themselves back in the game. So I think, you know, Liverpool are kind of workshopping. They were imperious in the league stage last year. I'm not sure I expect them to be this year. And do you know what? I don't think that will be important to them because they want to hit hard in the back end of the competition, not in the league stage. They don't want to go out in the last 16 again. I think they've got a great opportunity to workshop what is their best 11, what are their best finishers, if you like, the guys off the bench who can really give them punch. And maybe that's Alexis McAllister this season. I'm sure he won't thank me for saying that, but the impact he had when he came on was really clear. And they've got time to work out what is their best version of themselves this season, which is not as cut and dried as it was last season, I don't think.
I think what Andy says is absolutely bang on about the strength and depth that they have. He used the term finishers. I know that's something that Mikel Arteta, the Arsenal manager, has spoken about. It's a term lent from rugby union, talking about the players that come on from the bench being arguably as important, if not more important, than the ones that start the game. But it's not just the playing quality. I think there's something about mentality. Any team, as long as I've been working in this industry, when they go on a run of scoring late goals, you speak to the players, what do they say? Yeah, when we're going into games and it gets to the 80th minute, we still think we can go on and win this. We still have that extra sort of belief. There's more depth to their mentality, and I think that is something that you can't put a price on. So it's that combination of quality from the bench that they can call upon, and also the more that sort of run goes on, goals in the 88th and 94th minutes against Bournemouth, 100th minute against Newcastle, 83rd against Arsenal, 95th against Burnley and 92nd against Atletico, that will be in their heads that this game is never over. And also for their opponents, they'll be thinking, we might be level pegging late on against Liverpool, but we know what normally happens.
Liverpool go to Galatasaray on match day 2. Atletico will be without Diego Simeone in the dugout after his red card for the home visit of Eintracht Frankfurt. Elsewhere in the Champions League tonight, Bayern have beaten Chelsea by 3-1. Two of the goals going the way of Harry Kane. He scored a penalty after Trevor Chalobah turned into his own net. And Cole Palmer pulled one back. Wonderful goal. Dragged the ball from the halfway line. Worked a 1-2 with Malo Gusto. Popped it in the top corner. But Kane scored another real expert finish. 120 goal involvements in 102 games for Bayern. He's got 10 goals in 6 games this season, and he's one of only 3 players, I think it is, to score 20 more goals in the Champions League for 2 clubs.
Wow.
He really is, I don't know where I'm going with this, Andy, other than he really is unbelievable, and even as he gets older and older, he's still delivering in this competition.
And could have had many more. Yeah. This evening, I think it's fair to say, it almost seems like poor reward for how well he played and how consistently he got himself in the right spots. But look, I think the way that Bayern have built this season really aids him. Ever since he's arrived at the Fußball Arena München, it's clear that he is made for Bayern and Bayern are made for him. A team that is based traditionally around wide players immediately benefits from having a centre forward who can drop and provide an unbelievable quality of pass. That's before we even get to the goals. But then I think you add to that the fact that even though they've got no Jamal Musiala at the moment, who's a huge loss, the one authentic dribbler in that team, the fact that you've got an unbelievable Michael Olise at the moment. You have Serge Gnabry in renewed form. And something that when I last spoke to Harry Kane that he talked about, Luis Diaz arriving and taking some of the goal scoring burden off him. So a wide player who's a consistent goal scorer as well. And we're talking about Liverpool last season. Of course, Luis Diaz played a fair bit of the UEFA Champions League last season at centre forward because he's that authentic a finisher.
Let's hear from the player of the match, 2-goal scorer, Harry Kane.
Yeah, I think with the ball possession, making angles, helping each other. You saw me and Serge dropping quite a lot to make it difficult for them to press. They was always kind of minus one, and You know, as the game went on, I felt like they got more tired, the spaces opened up, and we was able to exploit that. So, yeah, it was a tough game, physical game, but really delighted.
Yeah, Nicholas Jackson came on for Kane against his parent club. Brilliant from Cole Palmer, who had a late goal disallowed for a narrow offside. Two of England's players really shining in Munich. Chelsea take on Benfica next on match day two. So we'll see how they get on with that one. Bayern, meanwhile, of course, involved in a couple of weeks' time. Away at Champions League debutants Paphos. We're going to hear more about them shortly. Paris Saint-Germain, 4-0 winners over Atalanta. Perhaps no surprise, the defending champions were so emphatic. Marquinhos, Kvaratskhelia with a brilliant goal as he cut in from the right side and lashed a shot past the goalkeeper. Yes, Bradley Barcola had a penalty saved, but Nuno Mendes and Gonzalo Ramos scored into the second half. And Paris Saint-Germain, even without a couple of big names, Andy, really impressing.
Yeah, they did. And, you know, they've got a lot of injuries at the moment. You look at the likes of Doué, Dembélé, who've been a huge part of their brilliant 2025 so far. But they weren't expecting Kvisha Kvaratskhelia to make it tonight. And the fact that he did, I just feel that, you know, you talk about some of these enormous teams in the UEFA Champions League and how the opposition might gulp when they see the team sheet and some of those big names on there. I think A, Atalanta will have done that when they saw Kvaratskhelia on that. B, Paris Saint-Germain and everyone involved with them would have thought, Kvisha's here. Okay, this is great. And Kvaratskhelia attacked this game from the off. He was brilliant. Of course, knows Atalanta well from his time with Napoli, of course, involved in two Scudetti, two Italian championships there. And his goal in this was brilliant. And that was really the goal that decided the game. Of course, Paris continued to be brilliant after that, but that goal really was the moment where you thought, okay, this is champion Paris.
Let's hear from the goal scorer now.
We did our job very well and we won today's game, and I think it was a great game for us. Yeah, of course, we are training, we were improving a lot, and we just want to work hard and play better and better.
So Paris Saint-Germain 4, Atalanta 0. Elsewhere, another Serie A side here in action, but with a better outcome tonight as Inter have won 2-0 away at Ajax. Very similar goals, Andy, decided this one in Amsterdam.
Yeah, and there's a lot of talk in European football at the moment about how important set pieces are. Every team that's anyone has a set piece coach. I don't think Inter need one. If you've got Hakan Çalhanoğlu, why would you need a set-piece coach? You've got the guy who takes the best free kicks and corners, perhaps, in European football at the moment. And Marcus Thuram, you've got the guy to finish them off. Two great deliveries from Çalhanoğlu, two brilliant headers from Marcus Thuram. And after riding out a few difficult bits in the first half, Inter worthy winners.
I love the idea of the set-piece coach coming out, opening up the folder, and it's just a picture of Hakan Çalhanoğlu's face. Look, no Lautaro Martinez either for Inter. It's five goals in four games this season for Thuram, and I suppose it takes a bit of a burden off of the shoulders of the Argentina international who's been their main man for so long.
Yeah, and I think the relationship between Thuram and Lautaro is key for Inter getting on in this competition. But I think there's an awareness as well of how Lautaro puts his heart and soul into every game, and he plays a lot of games. He plays to the end with Inter. You know, they're in with the chance of a treble last season. They went to the FIFA Club World Cup. He plays for Argentina at every given opportunity. And he came back from international duty looking a bit tired because he's fully implicated in every game he plays. So they need to have the depth to give him that sort of breather. And the emergence of Pio Esposito is absolutely huge for them. Of course, they could have loaned him out somewhere. And he really has convinced Christian Kivu, the coach, to give him a go, to allow him to give Lautaro some sort of relief this season, and I think that shows what a huge future Esposito's got.
He had some lovely link-up moments with Thuram as well, which was really encouraging. Let's hear from one of their new signings, Manuel Akanji, on that Inter forward line.
Yeah, obviously we need him up front. He's so important for us, but I think Pio did a really great job when he came in. These two, they caused a lot of problem, him and Marcus up front in a one against one situation. We put a lot of balls there and they held it up, or they played together, they combined with each other, and I think it caused a lot of problems for them, so them two did a really good job.
Inter 2-0 winners Ajax. Still to come, we'll look at the early kickoffs in the Champions League on Wednesday. This is our game.
UEFA Champions League Matchday Live with you, wherever you go. With audio commentary, real-time stats, and much, much more. Get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
So let's get to the two earlier matches, and we'll start in Czechia, where Slavia Praha faced competition debutant Bode Glimt.
Now here's Lukáš Provod. Oh, cleverly falling! And it's there! Slavia Praha! Draw first blood! They are back in the big time! And they're first on the score sheet! Mbodji with a tap-in! Here comes Slavia Praha again! And it's him again! It's extraordinary! Mbodji the hero once again! Having played 1 minute for the club before tonight, the young defender is twice on the score sheet. Oh, and a chance for Bassi! Bassi! And Bode Glimt are straight back into this game. The first ever goal for the Norwegians at this level. And now they could be in here. Helmerson, the substitute, is on his own! Another fabulous save! And that time, they have not been denied. He could do nothing about it, and it's a substitute. An incredible moment for him, for Sondre Vett, and Bode Glimt, against all the odds, have levelled with just seconds remaining.
Jackie Oatley on commentary there where it finished. Slavia Praha 2, Bode Glimt 2. Look, the Norwegian champions have done extraordinary things in Europe in recent years. They somehow reached the Europa League semi-finals last season, so perhaps we shouldn't be surprised that on their competition debut, 2-0 down, 12 minutes to play, they've missed a penalty at this point, they bang in a couple of goals, and that strike from Sondre Vett, the volley in off the bar, was absolutely incredible. So congratulations to them tonight for getting up and running in Prague. Meanwhile, in Greece, Olympiakos drew 0-0 with Paphos, also new to the Champions League. We've been hearing from UEFA reporter Vasiliki Papantonopoulou, who explained how the Cypriot champions managed to contain Olympiakos.
Usually they are a very attack-minded side. They have the means to score, but today they came up against a very resilient team who, despite being left with 10 on the pitch for more than an hour, they quickly changed tactics and closed down spaces and managed to escape unscathed from Piraeus. Meanwhile, Olympiakos, as the game went on, especially in the second half, they attacked more, but they didn't have the finishing touch to get the goal they were looking for.
And Vasiliki, for Paphos tonight, the Cypriot champions, it was their competition debut.
For Paphos, wow, it was a great debut. But we see today as well that the so-called modest teams, they are not here just to make the numbers. They get results. And so they did today.
Great to hear from Vasiliki Papantonopoulou in Piraeus. Let's get a take from the Paphos camp now. His player of the match, Derek Lukesson.
Of course, I'm happy with it. But I think one man down, we did well as a team. So I'm happy for the team as well. Obviously, it's very hard. And I think we defended very well. And we didn't have like big chances. One from Orsa, the free kick, and... But I think we can be happy with the 0-0.
They certainly can. So Paphos up and running with formidable opposition waiting them on match day two. There's another night of Champions League football to look forward to this week, a bonus night. Here's what you need to know ahead of Thursday's matches. Six games to bring you here on Match Day Live. Our focus is on events at St James's Park for a repeat of this Champions League Classic.
It's another one in for Asprilla! Quite incredible. It's a hat-trick for Asprilla. And Newcastle are now really in dreamland.
Tino Asprilla's hat-trick secured a 3-2 victory for Newcastle against Barcelona way back in 1997. The Magpies are back in the competition and the sides reunited. Live commentary of that one from 8:45 CEST. We'll also bring you all the reaction to the two early matches. Copenhagen face Leverkusen, while Club Brugge host Monaco. The Belgian side are formidable at home, but Monaco beat Barca on opening night last season. Meanwhile, in one of the late kickoffs, it's a huge clash. It's Pep Guardiola against Antonio Conte as Manchester City face Napoli. Scott McTominay returns to England to take on his old rivals. The former Man United midfielder was named Serie A's most valuable player in his debut season, something that didn't surprise Guardiola.
We have a really, really good conditions. So was a team like won the Serie A. So that means when that happens, it's because the manager and the players make an incredible job. And when you win, every player always perform at his maximum level. So really good.
Updates of City versus Napoli on Matchday Live will also keep across the action as Frankfurt face Galatasaray and Champions League new boys Kairat Almaty take on Portuguese champions Sporting. UEFA Champions League Matchday Live is on air from 8:45 CEST on Thursday ahead of commentary of Newcastle versus Barcelona. And Andy, we'll get your thoughts on that one quickly. News tonight confirmed Lamine Yamal will miss the match as Hansi Flick starts to pick up Marcus Rashford on his return to England.
Yeah, that's right. It'll be interesting to see if Rashford starts. Of course, Barcelona were excellent even without Lamine Yamal at the weekend, beating Valencia 6-0. But they were also able to rotate. Hansi Flick left Rafinha and Lewandowski on the bench, brought them off later, and they both scored twice. So that shows how adept he is at using the squad. This is a huge challenge for Newcastle. But of course, there's so much excitement about it locally because it's 28 years almost to the day. By kickoff, it'll be 28 years and one day since they beat Barcelona, the Barcelona of Luis Figo and Luis Enrique, 3-2 at St James's Park with that Tino Asprilla hat-trick. Of course, Pep Guardiola was the captain of Barcelona then, but not fit to play in that game. Oh, so that sticks in the memory. So when the lights come on, I think the atmosphere is going to be comparable to when they beat Paris Saint-Germain going back a couple of years ago.
Kevin De Bruyne, of course, has had an excellent start to life at Napoli, going back to Manchester City on match day one. The stories keep on coming. But Mark, I know you're going to be commentating on Eintracht Frankfurt versus Galatasaray, teams that were in the Europa League last season.
Yeah, looking forward to it, Rob, because Frankfurt started really well, didn't they? 12 goals and 3 wins from their first 3 games in all competitions this current campaign. Dino Topmuller's been doing a top job there. They came unstuck against Leverkusen, didn't they, last weekend? But really excited to see this new look side that he's got, and a lot of young talent. And then you've got Galatasaray, who've been absolutely motoring, 5 wins from 5 to sit top in Turkey. And while I speak about youth for Frankfurt, Mauro Icardi scored 3 goals already this season, so he's at the other end of the equation. So it's a very fascinating matchup, that one.
Okay, let's turn our attention quickly back to Wednesday night and get our moments of the night. Andy, you can pick something from any of the other games, but Mark, you get the standout moment from Liverpool 3, Atletico 2.
At the risk of repeating myself, Christian Kvaratskhelia's goal. Champions looking like champions.
Very good.
And you can't really look beyond Virgil van Dijk's thumping injury time header to win it for Liverpool.
Yeah, you can't argue with that. Okay, gents, let's hear from the man who opened the scoring, by the way, for Liverpool on the night, whether he knew it or not. Andy Robertson on Liverpool's squad depth.
If you look at the bench today, you know, it's a right strong bench. Look at the 5 subs we've made. All of them bring quality, and look at the lads that never came on. Do you know what I mean? So we can change pretty much every position within a game if it's not working, which is a positive. And it's up to us to now show how good we can be. It's okay, you know, these lads have came with unbelievable talent, and I believe they'll be good for Liverpool, but it's up to us to go and show it. And we need to show that by winning trophies. That's the only way we've done it in the past, and that's the only way we'll do it in the future. So I believe we can, but it's up to us to go and show it.
Super drama in the Champions League at Anfield. Andy Robertson there. What a night in the UEFA Champions League. And don't forget, you can download the official UEFA Champions League podcast shortly after every single match night this season. My thanks to Mark Scott and Andy Brassel for their company this evening. Victories for some of the biggest sides in European football, for some of the favourites to lift the trophy at the end of the season. Liverpool into Paris Saint-Germain and Bayern. A reminder that the Matchday Live will be on air from 8:45 CEST on Thursday, with full match commentary from St James's Park of Newcastle United versus Barcelona, and all the goals as they go in from the rest of the games. But for now, from me, Rob Daly, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.